a battle may be looming over the EU's emissions trading scheme. American Airlines is trimming operations in July. And NBAA rebrands its general aviation desk as Air Traffic Services. This is Aero News for Friday, June 8, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. During a hearing before the Senate Commerce Committee, the airline industry trade group Airlines for America called on the U.S. government to take immediate action to halt the application of the European Union's emissions trading scheme, which it says seeks to unlawfully tax U.S. airlines and establishes a dangerous precedent that could be used to tax the products and services of other U.S. industries. As currently administered, U.S. carriers must account for the emissions on the ground in the United States, across Canada, across the open seas, paying tax on 100% of the emissions of flights to and from the EU, even though only a small portion of those emissions occur in European airspace. The funds collected do not even have to be used for environmental purposes and, in fact, can be used to stave off Europe's debt crisis. A4A, its members, and every impacted non-EU country opposes the application of this cap-and-trade tax scheme to airlines and aircraft operators and are committed to seeing it overturned. Several countries, including India and China, have prohibited their airlines from participating in the EU scheme. The United States House of Representatives has taken similar action, and A4A has called on the Senate to pass Senate Bill 1956, the European Union Emissions Trading Scheme Prohibition Act, which would similarly prohibit U.S. air carriers from participating in the EU ETS. A4A urged the United States to initiate a legal challenge under Article 84 of the Chicago Convention through the International Civil Aviation Organization, ICAO, in order to drive the EU to negotiate a resolution. At the hearing, Senator Johnny Isaacson, a Republican of Georgia, asked Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood if President Obama was considering this possibility. LaHood said there is still debate within the administration. LaHood called Europe the Lone Ranger for unilaterally imposing the measure in January and said the administration again would, quote, strongly urge, end quote, it to cease the law's application. The Obama administration has threatened unspecified action in the event that a compromise cannot be reached, but Secretary LaHood said no decision has been made on just what steps to take. American Airlines says it will fly fewer planes in July because too many of its pilots are calling in sick. The carrier says it will cut 1% of its flights next month. It had already reduced its schedule by 1.5% in June. So why are so many pilots calling in sick? A spokesman for the Allied Pilots Association said Wednesday that many could be having elective medical procedures completed before the airline, which is working through a bankruptcy, raises premiums and copayments for their medical insurance. Adding to the pilot shortage is an increasing number of retirements last month. 57 pilots filed retirement paperwork in May, compared to just 15 in April. That allows those pilots to lock in the value of their pensions at a rate available before a May stock slump. The Associated Press reports that AMR Corporation, the parent company of American Airlines, says labor costs are among the factors that led it to declare bankruptcy in November of last year. It also cited, of course, the rising cost of jet fuel. The airline has already eliminated several senior management jobs and is expected to cut another 1,400 management and support jobs this week. American says the goal is to cut $1.25 billion from its annual labor budget. American Airlines spokesman Bruce Hicks said that the airline will be rescheduling flights in an effort to provide reliable service while keeping summer travel disruptions to a minimum. The NBAA has renamed its general aviation desk NBAA Air Traffic Services, or ATS. The name change, announced Thursday, is designed to place greater emphasis on the unique services that NBAA ATS provides in helping member company aircraft avoid delays caused by air traffic issues, the organization said in a news release. Originally launched as the NBAA GA Desk in August of 2001, NBAA Air Traffic Services will continue to represent the interest of business aircraft operators from the floor of the FAA's Air Traffic Control System Command Center, or ATCSCC. Is everyone taking notes on this? They'll do so to ensure equitable access to airports and airspace in the daily management of the National Airspace System, dare I say NAS. The services offered by NBAA ATS remain unchanged. Only the name is changing to more appropriately communicate the emphasis of the service, Now, if everyone can just remember what all those initials stand for. You might recall that last month we reported that Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta had directed the retrofitting of automatic backup oxygen systems in the F-22 Raptor, and that all F-22 flights were ordered to remain near potential landing locations to enable quick recovery and landing should a pilot encounter problems during flight. These moves were in reaction to the ongoing issues of pilot-reported hypoxia. Well, on Tuesday, Pentagon spokesman Navy Captain John Kirby told reporters that the safety measures put in place last month on the F-22 Raptor flights have had no impact on operations. There are no plans to ground the aircraft, but Kirby said the Defense Department remains prepared for all possibilities and will continue to monitor the aircraft's performance. Preparations for the second landing of the X-37B, the Air Force's unmanned reusable space plane, are underway at Vandenberg Air Force Base. While the exact landing date and time will depend on technical and weather considerations, it's expected to occur during the early to mid-June timeframe. Space professionals from the 30th Space Wing will monitor the deorbit and landing of the Air Force's X-37B orbital test vehicle mission, called OTV-2. The X-37B launched on March 5, 2011, from Cape Canaveral Air Force Station, Florida. Since then, Vandenberg crews have conducted extensive periodic training in preparation for landing. It was originally scheduled to return to Earth after 270 days in orbit, but the Air Force chose to extend the mission. The overall mission of the X-37B is still not even clear. The Air Force says it is strictly a testbed for other technologies, but some analysts have speculated that it could be the basis for an orbiting weapon that could be used against satellites or as a space-capable bomber. When Aero News continues, a famous U-2 pilot will receive a posthumous decoration. The fuel is flowing at Manchester Airport again, and a California developer is planning luxury hangars.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Friday, June 8th. I'm Glenn Moyer. Famed spy plane pilot Francis Gary Powers will posthumously receive the Silver Star next week in recognition of his captivity in the Soviet Union more than 50 years ago, according to a report in the Bristol, Virginia Herald Courier. Powers spent 21 months in a Moscow prison after his CIA-backed U-2 plane was shot down May 1, 1960, by a Russian surface-to-air missile. He was 47 years old when he died in a helicopter crash in August 1977 as a pilot broadcasting traffic updates in Los Angeles. His son, Francis Gary Powers Jr., started the effort for a military medal years ago after reading formerly top-secret records showing that the CIA's U-2 flights were a joint venture with the U.S. Air Force. The new revelations proved that Powers, a first lieutenant on active duty before becoming a civilian to join the CIA's reconnaissance program in 1956, was actually a commissioned officer when shot down and eventually released in a spy trade. Powers, it turned out, continued his active duty service while a spy pilot. Throughout his captivity from May 1, 1960 through February 10, 1962, and was discharged from the super-secret reconnaissance program as a captain. None of this information ever made it to the public or even to Powers' family during his lifetime. A ceremony to award the Silver Star, the third highest combat military decoration for valor, will be held at the Pentagon on June 15th to recognize Francis Gary Powers' courage under harsh interrogation. UK sources report that the fuel problems at Manchester Airport, the UK's third busiest airport, have been resolved. The airport's fuel supply was interrupted on Wednesday over quality concerns and caused a few delays. 13 flights were delayed, while 17 others had to make short hops to refuel in order to complete their flight plans. In that report yesterday, we reported that the airport uses 790 million gallons of fuel per day. Well, we were a little over the top there. In fact, that figure should have been 790,000 gallons, and we regret the error. The Washington, D.C. nonprofit organization Discover Aviation Now is actively seeking funds for a build-a-plane project, giving 15 students the ultimate education in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. In a small classroom at TransTech Academy, Cardoza High School in Northwest D.C., students are building model rockets, flying simulators, studying flight plans, and more in a program designed to promote science, technology, engineering, and math education through aviation. Believing that kids learn better with hands-on training, Discover Aviation Now's founder, Brian Johnson, an Air Force reservist, wants to take that program one step further with his ambitious Build-A-Plane project. 15 area local high school students working with the University of District of Columbia's Aviation Maintenance and Technology program are set to get their hands dirty, rebuilding a Pulsar XP experimental aircraft and restoring it to flying condition. Along the way, the students will gain invaluable knowledge in STEM subjects by learning about aircraft propulsion, structure, electrics, and hydraulics, all in a very hands-on environment. Brian Johnson is seeking grants and donations to fund the project. Well, luxury suites with their closed-circuit TV, catered food service, and prime parking have become a regular staple in modern-day sports stadiums. But luxury hangars at an airport? San Diego developer Carl Higgins is betting $10 million on Well-Heeled Aviators' interest in a luxury hangar for their aircraft. Higgins is planning 32 such hangars to be built at Jacqueline Cochran Regional Airport in Thermal, California. The project is scheduled to begin by the end of the year and will be accomplished in phases over the next 3 years on a 4.5-acre site. The first units will be available mid-2013, and pricing begins at $400,000 and goes up to $1 million, depending on amenities and size. Unlike any typical hangar, artist renderings show two-story buildings with second-floor glass walls. Among the other amenities offered, observation decks, crew quarters, ready rooms, kitchens, and offices. Outside the hangar, a communal area with fountains and a gas-fired barbecue pit with shaded patio are optional. As for clients, Higgins is targeting actors, athletes, and business tycoons that already use the airport. He says the area is ideal due to its proximity to mountains, golfing, and beaches. Well, you know what they say about real estate. Location, location, location. That's a wrap for another week of Aero News. As always, we thank you for listening. I'm Glenn Moyer. You're now cleared for departure.